I'm going to talk about something that might be a little controversial in some sense, a political in some sense. So just heads up on that. It's not meant to be, but it may feel that way. So if you've read the Northern Cross, which is our diocesan newspaper, it comes out every month. If you read this month's edition, if you read the bishop's comments, he made a visit to the state capitol not too long ago, and the Minnesota bishops were there with other faith leaders to try to advocate for religious exemptions in a couple of bills that are, in a sense, infringing on our religious freedom. So there's two bills, the Equal Rights Amendment and the Minnesota Human Rights Act, are both, I would say, extremely problematic for us as Catholics or as Christians. They really try to remove our religious freedom or exemptions in particular areas. So we're being stripped of that religious freedom. Our ability to hire employees for churches, schools, hospitals, that sort of thing that are Catholic would be restricted by that. To hire people that agree with our teachings and believe what we believe and live the way we live, that would be infringed. We would be vulnerable to being sued if someone wasn't hired because they didn't go along with what we teach and believe. So that's an area. We're being required to pay for and offer insurance policies that would support quote-unquote gender-affirming surgeries or treatments and that sort of thing. So in practice, this legislation would prohibit us from acting according to our conscience and according to our religious beliefs, rendering different challenges for us. Regarding human sexuality, and this whole movement is trying to undermine our teachings and our beliefs in that field. And it might eventually lead to prohibiting us from teaching our faith or speaking about our beliefs regarding gender ideology. It would also threaten parents' ability to be the primary teachers of their children according to their own religious convictions. So these are pretty radical attacks against our religious freedoms, and it's no accident. One of the things the bishops did when they were there is they, and then the other faith leaders, they were saying, hey, we thought this maybe was an oversight that you didn't include a religious exemption. And what the lawmakers came back and said when they were meeting with them is, no, that was an intentional thing. We didn't want to do that. We think you guys have to change how you see things, change how you believe. So Bishop Daniel spoke to myself and the other presbyteral council members, the priests who kind of advised the bishop about this, and shared how when they were meeting, there was sort of a rudeness and aggressiveness by some of the lawmakers that they were meeting with when they were down there. So this is something that we're facing as Catholics. The bishops were called bigots and hateful and compared to racists and all of this. And this was the message that was being sent, that we're not here to hear you or understand each other, but rather it's about imposing our agenda on all Minnesotans. So this is, again, at the local level, the state capital. So I share this with you to help you understand the seriousness of where we are as Catholics, the nature of the attacks that are being leveled against us in the area of the laws and so forth. So in the first reading today, Peter is addressing the people who are in Jerusalem, and he's speaking about the crucifixion of Jesus. He says, I know, brothers and sisters, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he announced in beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets. So he's basically saying, hey, I know you guys did this bad thing. In some sense, we're all complicit in it, but we acted in ignorance. To do something evil in ignorance is very different than when we do it intentionally. And so Peter hopes that they will see the truth and they will be converted. Now, there may indeed be ignorance in some sense when we look at our situation. So what about us? Are these actions of the Minnesota lawmakers being done in ignorance? Or is there hope that they could be converted? Or are we just facing an intolerance for our faith, for our beliefs? Well, I think in a sense there is an ignorance. They completely do not understand the harm that they are causing or promoting with these policies. Obviously we as Catholics and some of these lawmakers see the human person in a very different way. the dignity of the human person, the fact that we're made male and female, the things that we hold dear as Christians are not being valued. So we obviously see things from a different perspective. But they're weaponizing the government to destroy our religious freedom that we have enjoyed up to this point. And their arguments are not based in reason, they're not based on science even, or data that shows that this is helpful for the common good. Rather, it's an ideology that's being imposed on us as believers, not just in Christian believers, but you know the leaders that were down there were Muslims and Latter-day Saints and some Lutherans, and there's a whole group of religious leaders that were going there to share, hey, this is troublesome to us. And the response that they got was not a dialogue or a willingness to talk about it, but rather condemnation. So this is a challenge that we're facing. What is the root of evil? Ultimately, we know it's the devil, right? He's the one. He and his allies are the root of all evil. We find ourselves needing to oppose evil whenever we see it or wherever we experience it. And you know, this legislation is evil in what it promotes. The destruction of the human life, the destruction of the human family, the attack against Christian understanding, the human person as we see it, are all at work here. So one of the clearest ways we as people can fight against this evil is through our voting, right? So that's something to think about in the days ahead. We're in another election year, and so to think about, how do we vote? What do our candidates support? Now, I think most of the lawmakers in our area are actually not on the side of this. They're trying to fight for the good, so we can be grateful for that. But at the same time, we're facing this challenge from our government that is trying to undermine our beliefs. And so we think about, how do we interact on the public sphere? How do we share our beliefs? How do we witness to our faith? Now, bottom line, we as followers of Jesus, we have to love all people. So we love these people, even those who are supporting these bills. The confusion that they're promoting and the harmful things that they're saying or doing or advocating for, we see that this is harmful for our society. You can see it, right? You look at the statistics, you look at the facts, the science behind it all, and it's very clear that this is destructive to the human society in general. But at the same time, we love these people. We love people who identify as transgender and all people who are struggling with any kind of confusion in their sexuality. We love mothers who are afraid to be mothers, who are willing to abort their children. We love people who have a different worldview than we do, who support these policies. But to love them means that we have to oppose what they are doing, their actions, their ideas. We must stand against their ideas and fight against them, because these ideas are destructive, not only to them, but to us as well. Now, they might say, how is it that you can say you love us when you oppose us? How can you love by opposing these people from accessing these different things that they would call human rights? You know, healthcare, they would call healthcare, or avoiding racism or any kind of, you know, undercutting people for their ideas or for their beliefs. So it is a battle of beliefs. And we certainly have to be respectful and understand people are coming from a very different worldview than we are. So we don't want to be evil in return or spiteful or that sort of thing. But we have to oppose it and say, this is not good. This is not a good thing for human society. This is not a common good. And the fact that they're trying to enter into our churches or our schools or our different institutions as Christians or as Catholics and control what we can say and teach, That's a problematic thing. So, how is it loving to discriminate against them by saying that we won't agree with them? It's loving because they're putting themselves and all of us in harm's way by accepting these falsehoods about themselves or others. Not to mention they're threatening us as well as we go on this journey together. If you take an image, consider a volcano, for instance, like Mount St. Helens. I don't know if maybe some of you remember that. When I was a kid, it blew up out in Washington. Big volcano, big explosion. So if you knew a volcano was going to explode, would you be living next to it? Would you say, oh, well, let's build a house on it. Let's stay right here. This is a great place to be. If you knew there was danger, you wouldn't say that. You would say, we got to get out of here. We got to stay away from that. That's dangerous. It's volatile to be there, to build our foundation on that volcano. They may believe it's good, right? They don't see that. They might say, oh, it's a nice place. You can see a lot of things. It's beautiful. Why wouldn't we want to live here? But we would not be loving them by saying, yeah, just stay there. Okay, we're all going to leave, but you stay there. But the reality is they're not only not letting us go away, they're saying you have to stay here with us and be on this volcano with us. And so that's where we as Catholics have to push back and say, we're not going to do that. We're not going to stay with you. No matter what happens, you know, if you're going to try to close our churches or our schools or our hospitals, that may happen, but we're not going to go along with this idea that you're promoting, because it's not in accord with who we are as human beings. So we need to be willing to share our faith, share the truth of our faith. If it's necessary to fight against these things, we need to do that in the face of persistent confusion or organized subterfuge. We need to be resistant to all of those things. Consider St. John's words in our second reading. The way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, I know him, but do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. So we have to keep God's word. We have to keep his truth, his what he taught us, how he's inviting us to live in charity, right? That's the challenge. To not villainize these people or to say that they're bad people or that they're evil. People themselves, their actions are evil maybe, or the things that they're promoting are evil, but they themselves are just fallen human beings just like us. And so we need to be charitable, but at the same time, we need to push back against those things in any way that we can do so. We may find ourselves outmatched in the end on the world stage in these matters, but regardless of the outcome, in our state or our national laws, we must continue to proclaim the truths of God, even if our culture decides to penalize us or remains blind to the destruction they are causing to the common good. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't done so already, to read those articles. There's an article by Bishop, and then there's one also in there that talks about this situation in the Northern Cross. So I'd encourage you to read that and ponder carefully how we can cooperate with good and fight against evil in our day.